Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, April 22nd, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin, and I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well.
And you're singing to me. Also, John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, I'm here on time, thanks to my Apple Watch.
Yeah, lucky that. And you're here just in time to participate in the musical episode of Daily Observations. So that was kind of cool. Hey, we have a couple topics that I really want to make sure we hit today. So we're just jumping right in with China. So the deal is that about a week ago, China shut down the iTunes movie store and the iBook store in the country. Mm-hmm. And they'd both been available for 6 months. The iTunes music store is still available in the country. Just those two elements were shut down.
And the App Store, too.
Yes, and the App Store, too. Thank you. And so we don't have any official statement as to why they're shut down. But we do know that this was done at the behest of the Chinese State Administration of Press, Publication, Radio, Film, and Television. So we have to speculate. And there are people that are saying this is a business-related move because there are companies in China that the government would rather see taking in that money as opposed to foreign companies. Apple is among the companies that are foreign to China and are being targeted as too deeply entrenched in the country. A couple others are IBM and Microsoft. So this could be just a business thing. And I shouldn't use the word just. This could be a business-related move. It could also be a censorship thing because the timing fits perfectly with the release of a movie called 10 Years. And that it's an award-winning movie that shows...
Here in the West.
No, in Hong Kong. It actually won the awards in Hong Kong.
My apologies.
I shouldn't say no because I'm not sure. It may have won awards outside of Hong Kong as well. But
since it's not in the West, can we just delete the part where I said it was?
I already did. No one will ever know what happened.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the movie shows a dystopian future Hong Kong. And so it portrays China in a poor light. In China's opinion, yes. And so China has banned the movie. And it was just about to be released digitally. And right before that happened, the movie store and the bookstore got shut down. So maybe this is censorship related.
But 10 Years wasn't on either.
Not yet, but it was about to.
Do we know that?
That's the assumption.
We only know that it was about to be released. There's all kinds of banned material. I don't think Apple has made... I think Apple follows local laws when it comes to such things.
Right. Yes. So there's clearly pieces of information we're missing. So that's just a couple theories about what's going on here. And I'm curious what you guys think. Okay, John?
I think it's a happy convergence of those two events. I saw an article at Wharton recently about the China film industry, and it's a blockbuster in the making. Quote, the entertainment industry is a sunrise in China. Currently, China's movie ticket sales is second only to the U.S. And I saw a video report, I think it was 60 Minutes, a Hollywood executive was talking about the tremendous growth of the Hollywood entertainment industry. It used to be kind of backwards and driven strictly by doctrine. And China has figured out, according to this article, if I can properly characterize it, that you can make fun, entertaining movies that can bring people into the box office that promote China. promote their way of life and, you know, makes people proud of being in China. It's sort of like American Westerns. You know, the United States is historically noted for making movies that celebrate Western life, whether it's old Westerns or whether it's modern chick flicks, whatever. And so I think from what these two stories have told me is that China is recognizing the entertainment value, the monetary value, and the influential social influence value of movies that have a broad audience, not just in China, but all over the world. And the Chinese version of Hollywood is booming. And a lot of the censorship that was extreme has been relaxed for the sake of excitement and adventure. But there is still this concern about preserving their industry too, which relates to that other event.
But this is Apple's not making films. iTunes is not making films. iTunes. Funny.
No, this is a way to help promote the China industry as opposed to letting Chinese citizens be exposed to a flood of Western movies.
Well, yes, but iTunes could also be used to distribute all those homegrown films.
And maybe That's true.
And homegrown books. So I'm not sure that it's that. I think if it's anything along those lines, it's simply about shutting out of a Western Western business, but it being only the film and book side, it seems most likely to me to be either a new flare up in continuing hostilities between Beijing and Washington over various issues, including some trade issues, but also including accusations of spying on both sides, attempts by the U.S. to limit participation in U.S. markets for U.S. telecommunications markets by some Chinese firms for security reasons, or even just to sort of draw that line in the sand.
Yeah.
It's either that or it's most likely
I think, Brian.
Well, the interesting thing is we don't actually have anything that's making news right now about the a year ago there was a lot of stuff going back and forth between the U.S. and China, and Apple found itself a pawn in a lot of those things.
True.
Right. And we don't have that happening right now. Of course, you know, this could be the cusp of something, right? This could be a new flare up. I don't know. My gut actually says that it's more about the control or more about making sure that that even distribution channels are going to be homegrown countries as a protectionist stance.
That actually sounds pretty plausible to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep. I don't think it's about protecting the film industry per se. I think if anything, it's about.
Oh, I think it's about, that too.
Yeah. But this doesn't affect the film industry, John.
Well,
it doesn't affect the making of films.
It affects the Chinese exposure to Western films.
Well, but they could.
Through a digital channel as opposed to theatrical showings, which are limited already.
But as noted earlier, iTunes could also be a distribution point for
Hunger. That could be phase two.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. You know, I want to keep talking about this, but I also want to make sure we really hit our second topic today. So I'm moving us on. And our second topic today is Apple Watch. We are coming up very quickly on the anniversary of the Apple Watch release. So that was
Sunday.
Today's the 22nd. It was on the 24th a year ago. And so we have a year of Apple Watch under our belts or on our wrists. And I'm really interested to hear what you guys think of the Apple Watch a year in.
I can't live without mine. I don't know how I ever lived without it. People ask me, well, what is the big deal about your watch? And I think the top three things are Apple Pay, the convenience of just putting my wrist on the payment terminal instead of having to fish around for my iPhone. Number two is the calendar complication. I have the calendar right in the middle of my watch face, and it tells me what my next event is. And I've come to really depend on that because I just glance at my watch, and boom, I know what the next thing is on my calendar. And the third thing is that it tracks my steps even when my phone isn't with me, attached to me, and then it synchronizes. So it helps me keep track of my steps during the day, and I have a goal for that. So I don't know how I ever live with a dumb watch. And then there's other things like the weather. Like if I get ready to go for a walk or something heading out, I glance at my watch. I see the outside temperature instantly, not having to fuss around. I know immediately which coat to grab. So these are the things that are making life better for me on the Apple Watch, and I just love it.
Brian, wake up.
My goodness. That litany of unimportant things just put me to sleep.
All right, Brian, enlighten me.
I did my experiment about a month ago. I went a week without the Apple Watch.
Yes, and how'd that turn out?
Well, I haven't written about it yet, and I haven't written about it yet because it was kind of a, you know, it was vaguely interesting. And the reality is that vaguely interestingness is probably the thing to write about. So I'm going to. But what I found, okay, so I've religiously worn my watch, my Apple Watch, every day since it came out. I hadn't even put on my mechanical watch, and I've got a fine timepiece. I've got a Zenith.
You do. It's pretty sharp, or it's pretty Zenith.
It's a lovely, lovely timepiece, and I love it to death. And I've missed it the whole year, but I hadn't worn it once. And the reason being that, you know, oh my goodness, I have to have all of that fitness data, and you know, I've got to know when to stand up. If you know, I'm very much a completionist, and if I'm going to have the fitness data, I want to have all of the fitness data, despite my complete lack of fitness. And but once I set my mind to going a week without it, boom, I hardly cared. The thing that I found I missed the most was not being able to check the outside temperature, which I do far more than just going outside. Turns out I do it a lot to know how to dress inside because I try not to have air conditioning on or heating. So I know what the temperature inside the house is going to be based on what the temperature outside the house is going to be.
Okay.
And so I checked the temperature a lot throughout the day, and I definitely found myself missing that. And I also sort of found myself missing my fitness data. But again, once I committed to not wearing it, I also kind of didn't care about it. And, you know, by the way, it turns out when you have a dumb watch, tapping the crystal doesn't really do much.
Huh, how about that?
Yeah. Who knew, right? I think I tapped the crystal on my dumb watch on three separate times during the week. But I mean, the reality is that despite the convenience that the Apple Watch brings to my life for notifications, for knowing what the darn temperature is going to be, I didn't miss it. And I've gone since then, I've gone many days not wearing my Apple Watch.
Whereas interesting.
I wore it every obsessive day, just like John beforehand.
I get antsy when I forget to put it on. Sometimes I come downstairs and I go, oh, I'm naked. I need my watch. And I run back upstairs. Go, oh, okay. I've got it now. Oh, sigh, relief.
I used to feel that way, John, about my mechanical watch when I would leave the house. I would like panic and feel naked mm-hmm. as soon as I walked outside the front door. Now, I don't know, man.
But you have your phone with you, so it does all that work.
It does do all that work. Having made myself go a week without Apple Watch, there is Apple has not made it indispensable to be. And I bet, John, I bet you if you force yourself to go a week without it, that you would find you survived that week.
I would survive, but I wouldn't be happy, especially when I go shopping and I can't use Apple Pay.
Yeah, and you have to
pull your phone out.
I know, it's a pain.
Your voluminous trousers, you know, you can never find that thing.
Yeah.
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 No.
It's like I can't get over the Will Smith scene in iRobot from 2001 where he's in the bar. And that fixated in my mind for years, where he just taps or waves his hand or his wrist. I forget exactly what the gesture was. And he paid for his beer and his friend's beer on the way out of the bar. And I've actually used that scene in some of my articles in the past. And when I realized that I could duplicate that science fiction future, I was all in and never looked back.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Paying with Apple Watch is incrementally more convenient than paying with your phone. It absolutely is, but it is only an incremental improvement. It is incrementally more convenient. Getting notifications, that's probably the thing I really miss the most during my week is being able to triage my notifications from Apple Watch. That is also incremental. That's actually a little more than incrementally convenient.
But there's some irony for you, Brian.
Yeah.
Many, many times I've been in the living room watching TV with my lovely wife, and I get a text message about somebody who wants me to look at an article they wrote late night. And who is that text message from? It's from you. It's on my watch.
And your Apple Watch allows you to quickly triage and forget about it.
There you go.
Don't need to look at this one.
You know, the Apple Pay thing, Brian, you say it's incrementally more convenient than using your iPhone.
Yes.
I have found that after a year of wearing my Apple Watch, that I am more likely to pull my iPhone out for Apple Pay than to use my watch.
Yeah, but you're a weirdo.
I know. I'm totally a weirdo. But oftentimes I'll have like a sweater and a jacket on, and they're both covering the watch. And so now I have to get the sleeve out of the way, keep it out of the way, which I know I'm totally talking first world problems here, but it's just enough that oftentimes I will simply grab my phone out of my pocket and pay because it's faster.
Dude, getting your phone out of your pocket is not easier than pulling your sleeve up an inch. That's just, you're just not in the mindset of using your Apple Watch. And I wasn't at first either. I definitely, in the first few months, there were probably multiple occasions where I paid for something with Apple Pay with my phone rather than my watch because I didn't think about it. But once I got in the habit of thinking about it, I personally now go to my watch first.
I do go to my watch a lot, but I think I use my phone more. And yes,
there's this thing I do, Jeff.
What?
There's this thing. When I'm in line at the grocery store that takes Apple Pay, I wait until the cashier says, okay, here's the total. And I look around and I make sure the person in line behind me is watching. And I just go, you know, make that maneuver with my watch and touch it to the POS, the point of sale terminal. And I make sure they're looking and I go, I just smile inside and go, yes, now I've influenced somebody.
You're so that guy. Now, here's the version for the people that are behind you. That weirdo actually thought I would care that he's using his watch.
I'm doing my part to promote Apple.
Yes, yes, because
they need it. So glad you're there, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. And Brian, you're right. I am weird with the whole watch thing. I'm the guy that went years and years and years without wearing a watch and bought my Apple Watch so that I could write about it and expected that there was a high likelihood that after a few weeks of using it, I would just sell it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I still have it and I use it every day. Now, I don't put it on until I leave my place. Mm. And then it stays on for the rest of the day.
But you have fitness trackers with you throughout the day.
Not anymore.
Oh,
I have stopped carrying all other fitness trackers.
How do you know how many steps you take?
I no longer know how many steps I take.
If a step is made without it being tracked, does it no longer count?
No, it doesn't count. No one hears it. It's a sad, sad world that I live in, mm-hmm. where most of the steps that I'm taking now, no one knows about. And it actually does bug me that for someone that has relentlessly tracked every single step for every mm-hmm. single day for years on end, that I no longer have a good sense of how many steps I'm taking every day.
It's interesting, Jeff, because you're the one who got me started on this step tracking, and now I'm obsessed with it.
Well, I'm still obsessed, and it's bothering me that I don't have all that data, but I just don't put my watch on in the morning. And my Fitbit, the button died on it, and I just couldn't use it for the things that I wanted to use it for reliably anymore. And so instead of buying a new one, I just set it down when it finally broke. But the other thing that I relied on Fitbit for, I mean, very heavily, was sleep tracking. And I have other options for that now that are actually far more accurate. I'm using a new product, or new for me, called Bedit. And it's sensors that actually stay on my mattress. So I'm getting much more accurate sleep data than I got with my Fitbit.
Congratulations, by the way, on getting that sleep data. That's fantastic. I get up in the morning. We have a meeting at 9 o'clock my time every day. Mm-hmm. So I get up at 8:53 to make sure I have plenty of time to prep for that meeting. And the first thing I do is go to my desk and get my Apple Watch so that I have enough time before sitting down to get that hour of standing up, that 1 minute of every hour.
Yes.
For standing up that Apple Watch encourages you to do.
Yes.
Because that makes it that much easier to make sure that I get my 12 hours in for the day.
And that totally makes sense.
So, like, I make a beeline to my desk, put on my watch so that while I'm stumbling around pretending to wake up, that I get my hour in.
That's awesome. Totally
but
makes
if
sense.
But if I'm not wearing my Apple Watch, I don't bother.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I totally get that. All right. So it looks like we all like our Apple Watch.
I like it and don't love it. John loves his. Mm-hmm.
And I really like mine, and I love it as a fitness tracker, even though I don't use it for that hardly at all. Which I'm finding fascinating. It's great when I'm out like hiking and stuff, or when I go to the gym and work out there. It's really great for keeping track of what I'm doing and making sure that I'm staying focused on what I want to accomplish. But I'm not using it for my all the time fitness tracker like I did a Fitbit, which makes me kind of sad. But man, triaging messages through that thing, totally awesome.
Yeah, that's convenient.
Yeah. Listeners, I'm curious. Are you still loving your Apple Watch, or did the shine wear off for you? Let me know. You can send me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm curious, because especially now that I know that John and Brian and I all have different takes on Apple Watch. That's actually kind of interesting. We're out of time. We have to wrap up, guys. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
John, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Spock out.
That's right. Yeah, listeners, thank you for being here. It's always great to share this time together. We'll see everyone again on Monday.